So from Vedic point of view, there are two types of psychology. One is spiritual and another is material. So spiritual I am not going to touch, because that is a very esoteric subject and it also needs the understanding of the material one to get into the spiritual psychology. As far as material psychology is considered, then I think that it has two parts. One I will call as normal, and other is abnormal.
Will you need something to wipe it?
Yeah.
Occasionally?
Yeah.
If there's something that's
wrong. Okay. Thank you. So according to Vedic psychology, we are all normally sick. And therefore, their cure is meant for everybody. Abnormal is something which we consider those people who are treated in the hospitals. Maybe you have to go to a psychotherapist or psychoanalyst. Those are the abnormal cases. But normally, we all have some psychological problems. So the Vedic psychology does not talk about the abnormal cases, at least I have not come through, except in Charak Samhita, there is a division which deals with the disturbances of the mind. Specifically, they have diseases like called Unmad, which is like craziness, and other such descriptions. So I will also not go into those ones. I will mainly deal with the normal, which we can all understand, because this is what is going on in all of us. So basically we all understand that God has got two types of energies manifest in this world. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yavat sanjayate kinchit sattvam sthavar jangamam kshetra kshetragya sanyogat tad viddhi bharatarsha. He says that there are two types of energies which he calls by the name of kshetra and kshetragya. So kshetragya means the knower of kshetra, which means the field. And as he also says that he has two types of energies, one is bhinna prakriti, the separated energy or the material nature, and other is the living entity. So these two energies are manifest in this world. This is the matter, kshetra, and this is the conscious principle. Whatever we see, even what we see as inert matter, really speaking, there is also consciousness in that. Only thing is that consciousness is so little that it is not visible to us by any of its symptoms. But there is consciousness everywhere. And this whole thing is under the control of Paramatma. There is Supreme God, Bhagwan. And Bhagwan does not interfere in this part of the world, really speaking. Except once in a while he shows his face, but usually he keeps himself away from it. So what is manifest in this world, or what is controlling this world, which is a combination of kshetra and kshetragya, is Paramatma, which in Sankhya's philosophy is also called Purusha and Prakriti. And Krishna himself says that Uttama Purushastvanya Paramatma iti Udahanita. That there are Purushas, means the souls, Atmas, and beyond that there is another superior Purusha who is called Paramatma. And beyond Paramatma is Bhagavan. So Bhagavan, really speaking, does not interfere. Therefore he says, Samoham Sarubhutasu Name Dveshvasti na priya, that I am equal to everybody, nobody is dear to me, and nobody is whom I hate. This is Krishna speaking as Bhagavan. But if someone becomes a devotee, then he can interfere. So psychology means, in modern translation, it means the study of mind. But as a Greek word, it actually means the science of soul. Because in Greek language, psycho actually refers to the soul. So originally it is the study of the soul, and that's why in Vedic psychology it is related with spirituality. Because it is the soul which makes the matter function. Without soul, the matter cannot function. So how does soul, which is not in contact with matter, really perceive this world? This is actually the field which deals with Vedic psychology. If you study any of the schools of philosophies, whether it is Nyaya or Vaisheshika, or Vedanta or Purvimansa, or Yoga or Sankhya, they all have discussed this point, that how does soul perceive, if at all it perceives, the world, which is a different type of energy. So different explanations have been given for it, and the system which I am going to present is based on Bhagavatam, third canto mainly, spoken by Kapila. So when Lord Kapila, he is explaining to Devahuti how the principles of matter are manifest in this world, then he starts with Prakriti and then Mahatattva, Ahankar and so on. There are Sankhya principles. So basically matter is manifest at, say, three different levels from our point of view. One is the psychological level, then the level of the senses, and then there are the physical elements, the gross world which we are perceiving. And beyond all this is the soul. The soul or Purusha comes in contact with the physical world, with the four things, which are Chitta, and this is Buddhi, Ahankara, and mind. And here there are senses, and then we have the world, which means the objects. So this is the scenario which is presented in Vedic system, that there is the subject and there is the object, and in between we have a process how this perception occurs of the world, because all the problems are coming due to perception, and when perception is improper, then there are improper actions, and that's what we call as problem or disease or sickness. Because those people who are normal or abnormally sick or mentally sick, they are also perceiving with the same apparatus. Only thing is that for them reality appears differently than what normal person thinks. What we call as a normal person is, means majority of the people, they see things in one particular manner. Although even in the normal there are varieties, because everybody has got their own view. But abnormal is something who is very much different than the normal humanity. So those we consider that these people cannot function in the society. So how this apparatus works is very interesting. because soul really does not contact anything. But there is something called prana. Through which soul can infuse consciousness into chitta. And that's why it is called chitta, because chitta comes from the root chit. Which means consciousness, to be conscious. It is from the same root that we have chetana, consciousness, or chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means the supreme consciousness. It comes from this root. So this is the characteristic of the soul, and matter, which is from here onward is all matter, is achit, does not have any of its own consciousness. So how does the consciousness enter into the matter? We know that our physical body is conscious. If somebody touches us, we feel it. But when soul leaves the body, then there is no consciousness in the body, and the person cannot feel, because the one who feels is gone, and the consciousness is also gone along with it. So this is spiritual, this is matter. There is in between certain energy, prana. Now prana is usually translated as life air, but actually prana is not life air. Prana is an energy which may be carried through life air. Life air is the air which we breathe, or the air which is functioning inside the body, that is only the carrier of this energy. And with the help of this energy, the things become conscious. This prana also works here. It is only through this that the senses are working. So when this becomes conscious, then consciousness is infused in the other parts and the senses, and then of course, I am not drawn here, there is a physical body, because senses are in the body. But that is not of interest to us. Now the characteristic of chitta is that it is like the storehouse of our experiences. It contains samskaras in it. Whatever we experience, that gets stored into the chitta. And therefore when a person takes birth after death, then whatever form of life that person has, male, female, or if it is animal body, then these samskaras are going along with it in the chitta. This you can actually call as the unconscious mind. In the modern terminology. Because what is inside this, we are not conscious of it. There are a lot of things which are lying in it. We are not aware of it. And that's why psychoanalysis basically deals with this part, trying to find out what is here, what has gone wrong in it, or what is troubling it. Then the next thing is ahankara. Ahankara is that which gives us the feeling of an individual being different from everything else. That I exist separately from everything else. If ahankara is not there, we will not have that feeling, because chitta actually is like all-pervading type of consciousness. This is also called mahatattva in Sankhya terminology. So this is also the reason that those who can transcend this ahankara, they can get in contact with cosmic intelligence and can know things. They can study others' mind, because at this level, at the level of Mahatattva, all the chittas are linked up. They are part of it. So usually this is translated as ego. And it has got two parts in it. One is the functional part, because there are many functions which are happening in our body, whether they are happening inside or we are doing something outside, they are performed with this, with the help of ahankara, the ego. That's why it is called ahankara. And the other is the representational part. This part is that which gives us the identity. This is something which we think of ourselves. This is what represents I, that I am so and so. I am male, I am female, I am Indian, I am American. So how I am represented to the world. So that is another function of this. Then we have another part which is called buddhi or intelligence, and you can translate this as the conscious mind. And then we have this manas, in Sanskrit called manas, mind. This is the subconscious mind. So we have ego, we have the unconscious mind, we have the conscious mind, and then there is subconscious mind. And they are all interrelated. Now usually, when a sensation occurs, then a particular sense comes in contact with the sense object. And when a sense comes in contact with sense object, then that sensation is conveyed to the mind. So the first sensation which occurs is indeterminate. In Sanskrit they call it as nirvikalpak jnana. That means in this we are not sure of the object along with its qualities. At the first moment when there is perception, it is just that there is something. You cannot say what it is. It is a feeling or a sensation, not along with the division of object and its qualities. At the second stage, there is determinate knowledge, which is also called in Sanskrit as savikalpaka. So savikalpaka means that now you know the object with its color, shape, whatever. Like if you see this marker, so you know that it is whitish in color, it has a particular size. This is savikalpaka, the determinate knowledge. But before this knowledge comes into existence, there is simply a knowledge that there is an object. It happens for a very short period, for a fraction of a second. And as soon as the sensation comes, then what happens that the mind, it relates with chitta to figure out what it is. Because our mind works through comparison. Unless we are seeing an object for the very first time and we know nothing about it, then we cannot say what it is. And we have to ask others. So when a child is born, then he or she does not know most of the objects around. Means there are no samskaras here. At that time when they are observing, that knowledge actually remains only indeterminate. Because they only get sensation, but what is it? If they see this, they will see an object, but they cannot say it is white, or it is a pen, or for what it is used. This knowledge is not there in them. But later on, if as they grow, and then the father or mother or caretaker, somebody tells that this is a pen, Or they may see other people talking. Like somebody says, bring that pen, and he is observing. That's the other person who was ordered, he picks up the pen and gives it to him. Then he understands this is a pen. So then it gets stored in the chitta. So whenever there is a samskara for pen, then next time when you see this pen, then immediately mind goes and looks for it. Like a computer. There is a search program. And sees if there is something of this type. If there is something, then there is a recognition of that based on the samskara, and the person will understand that this is a marker. Or if there is nothing like that, then it will search if there is something similar to that. So the mind will always compare with the past samskaras. So it is past samskaras then who help us to understand our world. Our vision of the world is based on the samskaras, and the samskaras are always getting renewed. We are also adding newer and newer samskaras. We are also maybe modifying it. But especially in the childhood, that is the age of samskaras. That's why in Hindu religion, they used to have a lot of samskaras, these rituals. Even before the child was born, they had Garbhadhan samskara. So these samskaras were also there to create impression in the chitta.